Hello, church. Today's chapter is Acts chapter 14. Today's Acts chapter 14. Let me read this for us. Now, at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations you must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they have remained no little time with the disciples. Amen. In our chapter today, we read about the continued missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. At the start of our chapter, we read that they are preaching the word in Iconium, and then they go to Lystra and then Derbe. Sometime after that, they backtrack, make a return trip, if you will, returning to Lystra, then Iconium, and then towards Antioch. By the end of the chapter, they've passed through Pisidia and are on their way to Antioch by boat. What's really cool to see in all of this is that God uses Paul and Barnabas on each stop to make himself known. We see actually that many disciples were made in each of these cities, which is amazing. At the same time, we also see that it comes at a great cost. Paul and Barnabas are pursued by Jewish opponents. At some point, they are even stoned and dragged out of the city, left for dead. You've got both ends of the extreme here. Bunches of people coming to know Jesus and putting their faith in him, all while Paul and Barnabas, the messengers of the good news of Jesus Christ, are facing great opposition and persecution. There are a handful of things that stand out to me about this chapter. One clear one is how Paul and Barnabas just keep on going. No matter how much opposition they face, they can't stop, they won't stop. They're going to preach the gospel no matter what, and they're going to keep doing it. I think this is an important thing for us to recognize and to also adopt as well. The reality is that we will face opposition. Most likely not the same way Paul did, being stoned and left for dead, but we will face opposition of various kinds. And yet the question is, will we continue to share the gospel? Will we continue to exhibit the life that Jesus has called us to live, even if it stands counter to what society says? Do we have a strong desire to keep making disciples no matter the cost? Whatever your answer might be right now, whether that's a resounding yes, a more timid yes, or maybe a no, my prayer is that we'll continue to make this something that we grow in. The expectation isn't necessarily that you'll be exactly like Paul by tomorrow, but that we'll work towards that. We'll grow in our boldness and our courage, that our hearts would grow, our hearts for others will grow, but that we would desire to see them come to know the Lord. So that's one of the things that really stands out to me. But the thing I want to focus on for the rest of our time is found in verses 21 and 22. Let me read those verses again. Verse 21 says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." Paul and Barnabas were traveling around, preaching the gospel, making disciples of Jesus wherever they went. And also, we see here that they're returning to those who are already followers of Jesus and encouraging them to keep the faith, to keep following Jesus. And specifically in these verses, the words that stand out to me are where it says they strengthen the souls of the disciples. I think that language there is so important. That word soul is a word we hear a lot, but if you were asked to define it or describe it, my guess is that you'd have a hard time doing so, and I get it. The soul isn't something that you can observe and measure, so to define it is pretty difficult to do. But I like what Dallas Willard once said about the soul. He says, "What is running your life at any given moment is your soul. Not external circumstances, not your thoughts, not your intentions, not even your feelings, but your soul. The soul is that aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. The soul is the life center of human beings." That last part, I think, is key. The soul is the life center of human beings. So Paul and Barnabas weren't just saying nice things to the other disciples, or they weren't just enjoying the pleasures and luxuries of life, and from that, you know, gaining some kind of emotional or physical encouragement or comfort. They weren't just having a good time together. They set out to strengthen the souls of the disciples. And all those other things, the examples I gave, aren't bad things to do, but they strengthen the souls of the disciples, the very center of who they were, was strengthened and nourished and fed, all for the sake of continuing to stand firm in Christ, remaining faithful to him even in the midst of opposition, because like the rest of the verse says, they know that they will face opposition, that through many tribulations that they would enter the kingdom of God. You know, it might be easy to think that this type of thing, the strengthening the souls of others, is the responsibility of the pastors or the leaders. And sure, yes, there is a certain responsibility that I, the other pastors, our deacons, our elder candidates, our leaders do have. But actually, all of us can, all of us should be part of strengthening one another's souls. As brothers and sisters in Christ, it's so important that we contribute to the strengthening of one another. Now, how exactly do we do that? There are a lot of practical ways, but it all boils down to pointing each other to Christ. Whether through words, actions, kind gestures and deeds, whatever it is, when we point each other to Christ, we'll be strengthening each other's souls, be nourishing our souls, because Jesus in the end is the only one who can truly satisfy. Sometimes, again, this means encouraging one another, maybe sharing scripture that comes to mind, praying over somebody. Other times, might be challenging them, pointing out their sins, or pushing them a little bit to endure whatever difficulty they're going through. Sometimes it just might be sitting with them, being an extension of the love of Christ. But again, whatever it is, whatever exactly it looks like, it's pointing people to Jesus, pointing people to his truth, urging them to continue to walk in a manner worthy the calling that each of us has received. Because only Jesus can truly satisfy our souls. But let's be a part of that. Let's be like Paul and Barnabas here, who are serving, yes, ministering to those outside the church and also serving those within it, urging one another to remain steadfast and firm in the faith. Let me pray to wrap us up here. Lord God, we thank you for the example of Paul and Barnabas. And they're great examples in so many different ways. But one, Lord, we want to be like them in terms of having a heart for those who don't yet know you. That no matter what might come our way, that we wouldn't shy away. And yes, there's a wisdom that's required, Lord. It's not just about just kind of charging forward no matter what without a thought. There's a certain wisdom required. We need to hear your voice in this process. But Lord, at a heart level, though, help us to be like Paul and Barnabas, where we want to see more and more people come to know you. And Lord, out of this heart, may we keep turning to you, looking for opportunities and windows so that we can, as we are led by you, minister to those and make more and more disciples of Jesus. In addition to that, help us to follow the example of Paul and Barnabas by looking to strengthen the souls of our brothers and sisters around us. We would look to encourage one another, point each other to Jesus so that our souls would be nourished and enriched and grounded increasingly so that we can stand firm no matter what might come and so that we can increasingly more effectively minister to those who don't yet know you. And so Lord, help us. Help us to do this, God. Help us have your heart. We thank you for this word, this example that we see in it. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.